Hey, if you guys ain't never tried coffee before, I would recommend it. You know why? Because this stuff is straight up busting. And yeah, I said busting. You know why? Well, because I'm young. And I'm a guy. And a youth. And I'm going to drink it right now. And if you ain't never had it before, go to the store and get some coffee. I wasn't just crying, either. So don't say I was. 'Cause I wasn't.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. Today's show brought to you by Neutral Vodka Seltzer, made with real vodka, real seltzer, real juice. It's Neutral, the one with the umlaut. It's Tuesday, March 28th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, that's Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love that. Like the vid, comment away, subscribe, get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And if you haven't already, we would highly encourage you to grab yourself or maybe even a loved one a subscription to The Athletic. $1 a month deal going on right now. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. And hey, Monday, yes, Monday, April 3rd, we have a live show in Houston, Texas at the White Oak Music Hall. Special guest Kelly Eco from The Athletic is going to join us on stage for a little bit. Talk some Rockets, talk some NCAA, talk some nonsense. That's what we do at live shows. We have a blast. And thanks to Neutral, these tickets are free. So hit the link in the show notes if you're in the area and come join us at 6 p.m. local time in Houston on Monday, April 3rd, right around the corner.
I'll join you there.
Okay, awesome. You'll be there?
I won't.
Oh, no. Damn.
I'm on vacation.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's why Kelly will join us. All right, before we get into the games from last night, we have some fun trivia later in the show. We had wedgie number 50.
Yeah.
Oh!
On the season, and it was a special one. From Miles McBride with the jelly wedgie in MSG. And yeah, look at the confetti falling. 50 is the magical number we always want to hit. And it's very rare. This is only the third time since we've been tracking them that we actually hit over 50 wedgies. And we're not done. Hopefully we can set the all-time record of 58, which happened a couple seasons ago.
Congratulations to everybody out there.
Yes.
Congratulations to us, especially. Congratulations to basketball. 50 of them. Doesn't happen every year.
No, it's, I mean, you gotta really step back and enjoy it. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was a great one. Mm-hmm. Underneath the rim, basically. I don't know who went and tried to slap it out. Somehow knocked it even further in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really letting it breathe. I remember the first time we hit 50. It was on May 10th. We didn't get to our all-time peak that season. But, I mean, if we're getting 50 on March 27th, that's a good sign.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a lot of basketball left to play.
And May 10th from then on is Wedgie Day.
That's right.
Fifth
that's
month,
exactly
10th
right.
day. You know, it's just a special day to all of us here. Nah. But I think we're going to set the all-time record here. I don't want to jinx anything, but this is good. Maybe if we get a couple more before the playoffs start. Because how many we get in the playoffs? Like, ballpark, 3 to 5?
Something that's like that? High, my friend.
High?
That's high.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
the
only
wedgies
about,
start to
there's
disappear?
Only about 80 games in the postseason.
Yeah, you admit it that way.
It's about 3, max.
Oh, okay.
Well, so, unless you get hot, obviously.
So we could use a couple more here in the regular season, and maybe we'll get them. All right, let's get into the games last night. We start with Joel Embiid sitting, ruining our playback. Thanks, everybody, that joined us. We did have a lot of fun. But Jokic leads the Nuggets past the 76ers, 116-111 Tass. I see the stream team before we even went live here. Everybody firing shots at Joel Embiid. Oh, he's ducking them. Oh, the article with The Athletic and Choms, which we can get into. And he will never play in Denver. He doesn't want this. And blah, 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 blah. They say it was a calf injury that, you know, he sustained really or aggravated in that Bulls game last week, but then played in a couple other games. And they elect to sit him out. And it was disappointing for us.
Of course.
And for the NBA, because this was a big game that we had circled.
Absolutely. During the day yesterday, we were all excited. We're all pumped to stay up late here on the East Coast for us. Past midnight, together on playback, we were all looking forward to being being internet partners. However, yeah, it was disappointing. At the same time, you look big picture, and if you listen to the show, going into March, we all saw a really tough schedule for Joel Embiid. There's no doubt it was going to be difficult. This wasn't something that just came out of the blue. He said it before the All-Star game in February that he had a foot injury, that a doctor told him to sit out. He played through it. You know, you can just say that he just made that up. He's obviously been in and out of the lineup a little bit. Mm-hmm. He has obviously learned to deal with injuries. And he's had an incredible March. And 10 straight games of 30-plus points doesn't happen a lot in the NBA. Just like 50 wedgies. It happens once in a while. It hadn't happened since last year. He's having a great, great March. He had to sit out against the Bulls that second half. He goes to warm up yesterday, and yeah, it's extremely disappointing. He ain't ducking anybody. Yeah, the story, I guess, that Shams put out, I guess it's out. It's not a great timing for Joel Embiid.
No, that's for sure.
But he did it when he was in Chicago last week, right. I imagine, when he was visiting Shams there. So what are you going to do? Terrible timing. It's late March. These are the games, as I've said, that Embiid was probably going to sit. 17 games in 31 days. He's got to get fresh for the postseason. He's never been entirely healthy for a full postseason run. A lot mm-hmm. of freak injuries. A lot of illnesses up in Canada, getting illnesses in 2019. So there's something bigger picture for him, and that's what it comes down to. But a heck of a lot of disappointment yesterday.
Super disappointing. I just wish he would have rested on Saturday mm-hmm. against the Suns because, like you're saying, Tass, we talked about it after the blowout against the Bulls. Pretty weird that he didn't come back in the second half, though eventually we got the news that it was his calf, so understandable. Also, we said on yesterday's show that Embiid looked really slow and tired in that Saturday game against Phoenix where Bismack Biyombo was running him up and down the court. So you could definitely see the signs, but it doesn't make it any less disappointing that the biggest game of the night, probably the biggest game of the month, he missed it. So I would have loved to have seen him sit that Saturday game to be fresh for this one. But maybe they didn't know the article was coming out Monday. Maybe they thought it was going to drop last week.
Jokic goes out, puts up his 29th triple-double, 25 points, 17 boards, 12 assists, 2 blocks. It is funny for the people saying, like, he ducked him and be ducked Jokic. It's just, I can't get on board with that because, like, if anything, Embiid had to play in this game, dominate, you know, Jokic if he could again, like he did in the first matchup, maybe get his team to a win. Sixers are struggling here a little bit, too. No Harden in that game last night. Like, they've lost 3 of 4 here. That would have been the better way to go about trying to win his first MVP. I think if he does that last night, then damn. I mean, I believe a lot of voters probably would have had him at number one in the ballot. But doing the opposite just hurt his chances. And, you know, the guy keeps saying he doesn't want to win MVP. I don't buy it for a second. So, you know, he was probably injured. That calf was sore, and they are trying to play the long game here of, like, let's actually make a playoff run and try to win a championship. But still sucked, nonetheless.
It sucked a lot. The question is, with Embiid, when could he have sat? That's really what it comes down to. He's playing through something. As Trey said, it would have been nicer if it was against the Suns on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That being said, who knows when it flared up? It looked like it flared up yesterday. We ask our players to play through games, play through injuries, and he's playing through injuries. There's no doubt. He played 13 straight games in March. He's playing a lot. He's playing. It just sucks. The timing is horrendous.
Yeah, he's just missing the biggest game.
Yeah, he missed the biggest game.
That's an Embiid thing, though.
I guess.
Did he lose his chance at winning MVP last night?
Yeah, I think he did. I think that this was the chance that he had was if he went out and played as well as he played against Jokic the first time that they met in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, his leg wasn't feeling great. They've had a really tough schedule, so he's probably thinking, I could go out there and not be 100% mm-hmm. against the guy I'm battling MVP. That might look even worse if Jokic completely outplays him because that will stick in people's minds. The fact that Embiid missed the game is going to stick in people's minds. So, I don't know. He should have played, but he didn't play, so it's Jover.
The loss dropped the third-place Sixers 5 games behind the first-place Bucks, who picked up a win there last night, and 3 behind the second-place Celtics with 7 games left. It is appearing that they are falling maybe a little too far back of Boston specifically there to grab the number two seed and potentially have home court advantage in a second round series if they were to meet Boston, which we all think is going to happen. PJ Tucker had a rough game.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Do his best there with Jokic at times. You know, Deadman getting the start. He failed to score, so that's not really surprising with PJ, but also failed to grab a rebound, record an assist, get a steal, or a block in about 22 minutes of action, 22, 23 minutes, and he was a game worse minus 23. No Harden, so you're not going to take a whole lot from Philadelphia's side of this, but any other thoughts on this game, Tass?
Yeah, well, what should we start with? Should we start with a video review? Nah, thanks. Just Jamal Murray, I think, is the biggest factor here. Jokic has to be great, but Jamal Murray also has to be great for this team. He was awesome when they had their conference finals run. He needs to be great. It's his fifth straight game of shooting 50% or better from three-point line. So that is him feeling better. He didn't have a monstrous game, but he's efficient.
Beautiful assists in this game too. A lot to Jokic.
Yeah, he's feeling good.
Some of just put it in the perfect spot when he's posting up. Like once they had a small Sixers on Jokic, they would just like, all right, just put it right in the right spot. He just turn around and lay it in, and then a couple other in movement and pushing the action. Jamal Murray was great in this game last night.
I know they've had a great offense all season long, and it goes through Jokic. But when it comes to postseason play, and the defense gets real tight, they need a guard to break things down. And Jamal Murray has to be awesome for them to make their finals run. And so he's peaking at the right time. It's a progressive, nice incline here for him. He is doing really, really well right now.
We slipped it in there, that article with Shams. Did you have any takeaways from that lengthy Joel Embiid one-on-one interview with our guy at The Athletic?
Well, there's one big quote that's going around. People have been talking about who has the most pressure to win. People want to mention me. I'm not at the top of that list. I'm not a two-time MVP. I've never made first-team All-NBA. I've never won anything. So why is there pressure on me to do something when there are guys that have won two MVPs, a bunch of MVPs, and haven't done anything either? This, to me, was the Larry David meme. Because on one hand, yeah, there should definitely be pressure on Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, of course.
And there's certainly more pressure on Joel Embiid, I would say. Of course, Jokic has had his top two guys missing for the last two playoff runs, which is why I think there's probably less pressure on Jokic than Embiid. But also, I don't necessarily think that Embiid coming out and saying, yeah, I never win, so why would you expect me to win, is proving the point that he really wants to make. So that rang pretty funny to me.
Yes. What's just extremely apparent is everybody doing their media tour whenever they want. Embiid wants to say something. Hey, Shams, let's talk. And he gets it out there. He's very aware of the MVP narrative. It's between him and Jokic. He made it extremely clear, I think, in this article a couple times when he said, yeah, I haven't won two MVPs. He's obviously talking about the other guy who has won two MVPs. He's just strictly talking about him. He also said, I feel it's hard to win in this league. You got two great teams in Milwaukee and Boston in my conference. Also noting that, yeah, it's tough to win in my conference.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
Jokic, you do your thing on your side. But it's just some funny stuff. He's really aware of the awards, as you said. I've never won all-team. I've never been first all-team NBA. We're all NBA. Jeez, I can't even say that. First all NBA team. Well, you know, when am I going to get that? Like he's very, 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 very aware. He wants to win MVP. There is no doubt. Also, what I got from this, a great player can say that they had a slow start because he said I had a slow start. But then when somebody else, like Sham said, you had a slow start. He didn't like that. He doesn't like anybody. A player, and I get it. A great performer can say, I had a slow start, but you can't say to me.
Right.
Because he basically he said it, and then Sean said it back. And he said, hey, you can't say it. I didn't say that. Anyway, but also he said, I really believe I'm not well-liked. That's not true. He maybe got it in his head because he hasn't won MVP, but people like Joel Embiid. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. He says he likes being the asshole anyway. Teddy
people
relishes
like
it.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah, he
Come
plays
on.
The heel.
Of course he does. Yeah, and he says it's fine with him. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Don't worry about Jokic and the pressure that eventually is going to be on him. If the Nuggets, you know, lose in the first round here, flame out in a second round series as the number one pick with a fully healthy team, the pressure will be on Jokic moving forward. Like, he's had the sort of built-in excuse of not having his full squad come playoff time.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's it. That's where you're at with him. And Embiid, you know, he's been injured, unfortunately, in playoff series, as you pointed out, Tass, but it's like, you know, people are like, keep waiting for him to string it together. You know, they lose a heartbreaking game 7 to the Raps on a crazy shot from Kawhi, and if that doesn't go in and they win in overtime, then it's a completely different story, maybe, your narrative around him. But that was strange, the title or bust question there from Shams and him saying, what pressure? I mean, I haven't really won all the big awards yet.
I always lose.
It's so strange.
What kind of pressure?
Very, very fascinating. Look, the biggest knock on him, you know, trying to win MVP this season and where we see how the votes lay, he just hasn't played a lot of games. This is and in the end, he's only at 61 games played right now. And Jokic is going to likely be over the 70 mark. Embiid, if the how serious this calf injury is, like how many of these does he play down the stretch, Tass? Especially once they sort of are falling into their seeding. I mean, where does he like, does he get to over 65 games? It's tough to win MVP just not playing, you know, 20 games or around there. That's where we're at. You have to play a lot of games. And
I thought we changed our perspective because everybody's sort of dropping some games here.
Well, Jokic is going to have 10 more games played possibly than him. I mean, that has to count. It has to.
Yeah.
When we're, you know, splitting hairs between them.
He's played
sure.
like 160 more minutes right now. That's like the equivalent of 5 games.
Jokic
pretty
has.
Much. Yeah, Jokic
yeah.
has.
Yeah, it's 67-61 right now. So it's 5-6. I don't know how much it's really going to factor in.
Well, my point is it could be more if Jokic continues to play and Embiid doesn't.
True.
He misses some more games here.
Maybe.
And Giannis is like even less than Embiid. So it's just going to like, that's going to count for the voters for sure. Like if it's like we're this tight, this close, it's like
so
the guy's
far
played
has.
More minutes.
So
more
far
games.
It has when Sam Amick of The Athletic was discussing this. So far it has, I think, because it's become such a story, because mm-hmm. load management has become such a story. It's just in voters' head. But if it is 6-7, I don't care. I don't think that should factor in.
Okay. Moving on here. The Wolves, they win last night 119-115 to deny the clinching party for the Kings. Wolves are hot right now. We watched a lot of this one. TK on playback. What were your takeaways?
I think the Kings put too much pressure on themselves. I kind of think that they looked at their schedule. They saw that their next two games are on the road against Portland. They're likely winning one of those one, not to mention we got to deal with all the other teams that could possibly help them clinch. The only way to guarantee it was by getting a win in Sacramento last night, and it just wasn't happening for Sacramento. They shot 5 of 27 from 3, and that's kind of what it came down to in the end, because the Timberwolves, they didn't shoot a lot better, but they shot 9 of 24, and they had a serious size advantage, I thought, really played out last night with the games that we saw from Jaden McDaniels, Kyle Anderson, and Naz Reid, just having great positional size compared to the Kings, forcing a lot of turnovers. Timberwolves only turned the ball over 6 times last night. I guess it was only 10 for the Kings, but they just looked like they were a little too small for the moment compared to what we've seen from the Kings in the past. It kind of reminded me of they got to 40 wins. They brought in those kids who said, we're getting to 40 wins. They sat them courtside for the first time. The Kings are going to have a 500 record in forever, and they lost that game as well. So putting a little pressure on themselves. They also had the Keegan Murray 3-point record up for grabs. He couldn't shoot last night, so it just wasn't the Kings' night. But I really thought the Timberwolves played really, really well on the second night of a back-to-back. No Towns last night.
Yeah,
a couple of really good wins for Minnesota over Golden State and over Sacramento. Now they're going to have a chance at a top 6 seed, it looks
Absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely.
It was a game of the night, for sure. We didn't have the gas to last until the final buzzer on playback, even though we're watching Sixers Nuggets. Maybe that just took the life out of us a little bit, but easily the blast of the night watching this game. Felt like a playoff game in Sacramento. It was so loud in there, and Minnesota stepped up in that first quarter, and they didn't stop, really. They didn't stop attacking the rim. You could see why teams will do that against Sacramento. They're going to go at Sabonis, and Sabonis did respond really, really, really well offensively. He was into it. He had his flow. He was so good with that beautiful footwork and dunk there in the second quarter when they rode the fans into the break. But then in the third quarter, you mentioned the names. No Karl Anthony Towns. He sits. But Kyle Anderson steps into the starting lineup, was great. just taking the shots that were there. Jaden McDaniels had an 0 for the game before, didn't score, so he stepped up, was great. Attacking the rim.
Huge dunk in this game.
Huge dunk.
I thought it was Anthony Edwards when he threw it down. I'm like, who the hell was that? McDaniels?
Yeah, he didn't stop the entire game. It's unfortunate Sabonis took a business decision and didn't go after that. It was really disappointing. 3:45 left in this game. Game still up for grabs, and Sabonis just kind of had enough. You'll see the Wolves be able to, or any team, go at the Kings like that. That's the worrisome part about the Kings.
Big time.
Are you going to deter the rim? But all those dudes attacking. McDaniels, Anderson, Naz Reid, Rudy Gobert had a little spin fade in the lane. What was that? That was ridiculous. Conley going at the rim. So that's the worrisome part for the Kings. And we talked about this on Playback. We put up a poll. Who would win a playoff series with these two teams? Who would match up currently right now in the 3-6 spot? And it was mostly Kings because of the season that they've had. But you could see the experience that the Wolves have with this roster going to the playoffs last year and having that wild series against the Memphis Grizzlies. Stepping into an environment like this where they would go on the road in Sacramento and feeling decent. It should be a long series. It would be absolutely fun. But a real, real great game. And maybe these are little learning experiences for the Kings playing in front of a raucous crowd that, again, feels like a playoff crowd.
Yeah, the only other notes I have, Keegan Murray had a rough game. He had a very bad game. He did hit one three-pointer, so he gets closer to that rookie record for most threes in a season. But 1 of 8 on the night, those were his only points. Herter was in foul trouble. Sabonis fouled out. But also the Kings, you said the three-point shooting, and they couldn't hit one to save their life. But they also had a chance still to win this game, which was shocking to me, in the fourth quarter. They got the Wolves into the bonus really quick, so they were going to be living at the line, and they were putting pressure on the officials. And they just kept hitting 1 of 2. Every time they would get to the line, somebody would just miss one. So, again, they did themselves no favors, and the Wolves really impressed me there last night. I was getting excited for a series between these two teams. Like, I almost want this. This would be a very, very entertaining 3-6 series. I'll guarantee the Kings will lose one of the first two games at home, and then we'll have a series right away. That's what's going to happen here, and it would be very long. The poll, the results to that were a little shocking to me. It was pretty in favor of the Kings.
33-7.
Yeah, so, do the math on that one. A very high percentage of people taking Sacramento. I'm just not sure the Wolves are the greatest matchup for this team because of, like, their size these guys. And I wonder if they'd fare the Kings would a little bit better against some of the other teams that maybe they'd hope slip into the sixth seed if that's where they stay at the third seed. So,
well, I mean, we'll they're probably... The ideal matchup would be Dallas getting into that sixth seed, but other than that, the Lakers, you don't want to see them in a six seed. That's a huge team right there. The Golden State Warriors, they're small, but they're the defending champions.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, it's probably Minnesota, realistically, who they would want to see just because they're going to be up and down in the playoffs, no doubt about it. But I don't know. I probably would change my vote. I voted for the Kings to win the series last night. I probably should have voted for the Timberwolves.
Maybe I'm
caught in the moment, but playoffs are different. And you got to figure out a second way to win. Yeah. The Kings have one way to win so far this season. It has worked a lot of times, but we've seen a couple of games where you're like, when the defense picks up and the game slows down, it can be tough.
Moving on, Luka Doncic. He played last night. He led the Mavs to a win after the NBA rescinded that 16th tech. You called it their task. You thought it might be a possibility. And they did, and he played. He had 25-7-6, and the Mavs snapped a 4-game losing streak. I'm not even sure he had to really play in the game for them to get the victory, but what were your thoughts on them ultimately taking that one back?
Well, just jumping from the Kings to this Mavs game, there was some rim deterrence by the Mavs. I know we don't think of them as a good defensive team, but they really turned the game when JaVale McGee came in. Yes, JaVale McGee. He was just there at the rim. He's just a large man, and the Pacers just stopped scoring at the rim. He was plus 13 in 13 minutes, and that was enough because their offense took over. This is a very shorthanded Pacers team. Mm-hmm. Of course, no Hallie out there, and
no
Buddy Hield missed his first game of the season, and no Turner as well. So, yeah, Luka looked phenomenal. This was a team win. Yeah, they didn't need to do much, really. I mean, Luka was magical when he wanted to be, but he was the game before that. And, yeah, they were just a little bit more connected. Good night.
Was this a makeup call by the league to let Luka play in this game and rescind that 16th tech for the whole protest thing and the controversy around whose ball is it against the Warriors? Because we learned from the referee after that Hornets game, the pool reporter asked Kevin Scott, the crew chief, you know, why did he get that 16th tech? The quote was, profanity directed at the officials in protest to a no-call. That was correctly judged in a post-game video review. So he swore at the officials, and he got the tech, and they, I guess, take it back and say, yeah, go ahead and play in Indiana.
Have fun.
Yeah, I mean, there was a weird thing with that. We didn't know whose ball it was. Okay, so you go play. That's what it feels like, honestly. I don't really get this.
Well, I mean, the Lakers complained a ton about their free throws, and now they shoot the most free throws of anybody in the league, yeah. Austin Reeves included. So complaining works. go for it. But it really shouldn't be news that the Mavericks beat the Pacers, but they look so bad against the Hornets that it actually is news.
Right.
The main thing is that the Mavericks cared enough last night. They played hard enough, and they played with intensity. Only 4 turnovers through the first 3 quarters, which is really the game. They shot 14 of 30 from 3. So if they have the ball and they're shooting well, that's how the Mavericks win.
And Luka with one of the most incredible assists of the season last night. I think we have the clip where he is trapped in the corner. He is just double teamed, nowhere to go. So he just decides to jump in the air, jump out of bounds, and then just whip a pass underneath the stanchion and the net to the opposite side for Hardy to slash the 3. What a dime here.
That's crazy that this doesn't hit the rim or the backboard at all.
What a pass. That is pretty sick.
They put some sauce on that.
Yeah. And there's a guy underneath the rim. Josh Green just flies right by him and his defender. That was that because there's 2 guys on him, it made it seem like, okay, maybe he's going underneath, but he went he went deep. That's a nice 50-foot pass right there. Pretty pass.
Yeah, a lot of stank on it. The way he kind of jumps and throws it reminds me of Derek Jeter going into the hole to field a grounder.
Definitely, yep.
Maybe Chipper Jones ranging to the left, uncorking quite the throw to the first base. That's right! Once I saw this, I couldn't stop thinking which NBA player would have the best throwing arm on a baseball field. So JD, hit that top 5 music. Top 5.
All right.
Yeah, I had some car troubles yesterday, Skeets. Ended up sitting in the Classic Factory while Tass recorded a No Bunts podcast. Oh. I only heard his half of it. Should be a great one, but it got me with baseball on the mind. Then I saw this Luka play. So here are my top 5 NBA players who I think would have the best throwing arms.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know if these aren't ranked. Whatever. These are just 5 players.
5 guys.
Because I can't... Well, number 1 is quite obvious. But we'll start with a fake number 5, Nikola Jokic.
Okay.
He's on the list because I think he leads the NBA in full court assists.
Mm-hmm, probably.
You see him chucking the one-handers all the time. He obviously has the water polo background from back in the day. And of NBA superstars, he's probably the one most built like a baseball player. So I got him on the list.
He could change his arm angle to have the ball come at any direction.
Absolutely.
That's a good point.
He could be pretty sly, sneaky. It's hard. The arm angle, it's very important. Where's that ball coming
from? It's all about the arm angles. Big honey / big unit. Very Randy Johnson-ish as well.
Watch out for the birds.
Yeah, that's right. Also making the list at number 4, apparently, Jay Crowder, a high school quarterback. That's just something I'll always remember about Jay Crowder. They bring it up. I think he's the guy who will often throw like a full court inbounds pass when there's hardly any time left. They're like, have that guy. He's thrown a ball far before. So, Jay Crowder, you make the list.
All right.
At number 3, Klay Thompson.
What?
Yeah. Klay Thompson.
It's in the blood.
It's in the blood. He's got a brother who made the Major League Baseball. So, I imagine Klay and Trace. I bet Trace has a good jump shot as well. You know, like, I bet they translate. They're probably playing against each other.
Yeah,
brother
yeah.
versus brother, getting better at their respective sports.
Have we ever seen Klay throw a baseball? I'm trying to think.
He had to have thrown out a pitch at some point.
Oh yeah, maybe.
They've won so many titles. I bet he's thrown out a pitch for the Oakland A's, looking like Barry Zito out there. What, you wanted Tim Hudson?
Nice.
Mark Mulder?
Yeah, I like
Dennis
Tim.
Eckersley.
I go right.
Dave
Todd
Stewart.
Van Poppel.
Oh man. Oh yeah, we're naming A's
had his,
pitchers.
Had his pointless rookie card. I remember.
Todd Van Poppel drafted right behind Chipper Jones in the same draft, I do believe. Guess who won that one? Atlanta. He's a Hall of Famer. At number 2, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, for sure.
Dad was a minor leaguer, still works for the Mets, or at least he did when he was drafted early in Mitchell's career. Mitchell was a high school baseball player as well. Seems like a shortstop to me, maybe a second baseman, the later he gets into his career.
Yeah, he did. He went for batting practice with the Mets, I do think.
Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right.
Looked so, okay in the cage?
From what I remember.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. He could work on his footwork in the batter's box. Mm. No, I do not remember whatsoever, but I'm sure he was good.
And just to confirm, Clay Thompson has absolutely thrown out some ceremonial first pitches. And this title says, Clay Thompson throws absolute dart of a first pitch. I think he's done it a couple times.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
brought the heat.
He's what, one of three brothers, right? Clay, Trace, and I think Michael is another brother. So these guys are playing all the sports back in the day. Guaranteed. Okay. But number one, pretty obvious, Pat Connaughton.
Oh,
pretty sure the only major league player currently who was drafted the NBA player who was drafted into Major League Baseball. He was a fourth round draft pick, but would have been drafted higher if he didn't want to play basketball instead. I don't know if anybody else in the NBA throws 90 miles an hour, but Pat Connaughton did once upon a time, so he tops the list.
Okay.
Connaughton, Mitchell, Clay Thompson, Jay Crowder, and Nikola Jokic.
Okay.
That's a realistic list.
What about this arm?
What about this arm? I got nothing else. Pat, I was just wanting to make sure Pat was up there because obviously he's good. He's drafted in the fourth round.
What position would Jokic play on the field? Where would you put him? I mean, I guess
the monster
pitcher.
First base, maybe. I mean, he's a giant dude. Imagine him playing third base or shortstop. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm thinking pitcher or first is good for him.
You could DH.
Yeah, that's good, too. All right, great list there. Who's Trey missing there? Which NBA players got an arm on them, got a cannon on them? Let us know in the stream team. Tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Let's take a break. When we come back, we can quickly touch on some of the other games from last night. Quickly scoring 40. And I got some random trivia for the guys. Don't go anywhere. All right, lots of other games on last night. Quickly scoring 40 in place of Jalen Brunson as the Knicks beat the Rockets. He was on one last night. Shot a great percentage.
Yeah, and he was soaking it in from the MSG crowd after the game. Loving it. We have said these Rockets, they are soft on the perimeter. I hate to harp on it, but they allow guys to score a lot of points. I couldn't help but think after a commenter made this point in our playback, and having thought about it the last week about Jalen Brunson in and out of the lineup, these guys need to get in a flow. Brunson, a series of maladies the last few weeks. The foot injury kept him out. He came back, aggravated it, went out. Then he had a hip. Then he had a wrist injury that apparently had a hard brace on. It's only been reported by Newsday, so I'm not 100% sure what's going on there with the wrist injury, but that dude's got to get right if this team's going to make a run. Mm-hmm. So great stuff for Quickly. 40 spot.
Yeah, not bad. Any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I guess Quickly is the 14th player this season to have 40 or more against the Rockets.
Wow. Holy.
That's a lot. He went 14 of 18 from the field as well. And it was just like, it looked like training for him going through pick and rolls because, I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. may be the worst defender in the league, and they just had him in pick and roll all night. So it was like if Şengün was playing the drop, Quickly was way too fast for Şengün, and we'd get straight to the hoop for a layup or perhaps a kickout. If Kevin Porter Jr. went under the screen, he just hit a wide open three. So great stuff. I'm sure once Brunson went out, Quickly knew he was starting. He's like, this is sweet. This is going to be a nice night for me here. So he went out. Incredible efficiency.
Yeah, and it's looking like we got our 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 here in the Eastern Conference. Looks like we have all 10 teams, actually, as the Wizards and Pacers, they fall out of this. The Magic, it's a little too late, I think. We got our 10 teams, but it's feeling like the Knicks are going to be in that fifth seed. It feels like it's going to be Cavs and Knicks, but I'm with you on the Jalen Brunson thing. Like, if they are to upset them, if you want to call them that, or to move on, make a postseason run, Jalen Brunson is going to have to play a lot of minutes and steady the ship there. Because even this game, yeah, they pulled away in the end, but the Rockets were in it. I think that's just the case of, like, we're playing a shitty team. Let's just go out and have some fun here and get our points and then buckle down for a couple minutes and win it. And they did, and that's fine. But hopefully all these little banged up little things, hips and legs and wrists, he's getting the time. He's missed a lot of time here recently.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson has. It, maybe it's even hurt his chances for an All-NBA selection. I think we have so much talent there at that guard position that maybe he does get squeezed. But I'm looking forward to a Cavs-Knicks series. I know that.
Yeah, 6 games remaining for the Knicks. He's got to be healthy if they're going to get past the Cavs.
Yeah.
He's got to be good. And last year in the first round, he was phenomenal.
True.
If he comes back, he's got it. He's got the capability. It's going to be a great series, but he's got to be healthy.
A lot of the other games last night of the blowout variety, so let me just chuck them all at you here. We had Booker and the Suns bench leading Phoenix past the skidding Jazz as they sort of slip down and out of the play-in here a little bit. Ingram, he's on one right now. He's scored 29 as the Pelicans crush the Blazers, 124-90. Portland has completely waved the white flag. Batum hit 8 threes as the Clippers beat your Bulls there, 124-112. And Chris Middleton led the shorthanded Bucks, no Giannis, no Drew, past the Pistons. Middleton and Brook Lopez with good games there. TK, we'll start with you. Of those four, anyone you want to touch on?
Well, Nick Batum hit 8 three-pointers, and the Bulls made 9 last night. So not great math for Chicago, considering the rest of the Clippers also hit 12 threes for 20 total. LA had 41 assists on 48 makes last night, including 10 from Westbrook, who was really, really good. He was just living in the paint. The Bulls did a great job against the Lakers of taking Anthony Davis out of the game, basically getting the Lakers to stay out of the lane. So they were kind of very concerned with that. Billy Donovan said it afterwards. We work so hard on taking away the paint. Sometimes there are open shots, and that's exactly what it was last night with no Caruso out there. Batum, after the game, said it was nothing crazy, just really open shots. I didn't have to take a dribble on any of those. I mean, the guy doesn't have the quickest release. He's not deep in his bag to get these threes. These are wide open catch and shoots from Batum. The Bulls just didn't have it on the second night of a back-to-back. Though, shout out to Billy Donovan saying, that ain't an excuse. We played early on Sunday. We were done by 3:30 and didn't have to play until 7:30 the next day. My guess, Bulls had a long night in L.A. Hey, it's a fun city, man.
Yeah, it's a blast.
It's a fun city.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that game or any of the other ones?
They left Batum wide open, there's no doubt. When it comes to the scouting report with the Clippers, people are going to leave Nick Batum open, who's starting for Paul George for the rest of the season, because Paul George hopefully will be back for the postseason. These are the types of games that get me enthralled with this Clippers team. If you got a guy like Batum coming off the bench, and Eric Gordon, who stepped into the starting lineup as well, hit 5 threes.
Eric Gordon has played very well for them.
He's played great.
5 threes. He's been very solid for a guy that was like, just as we kept saying, was just like wasting away in Houston for a couple seasons.
This is his opportunity. Yeah. He's been chomping at the bit, I'm sure, to play some real basketball. So sometimes this depth comes through, sometimes it doesn't. But they're sitting in a decent spot here in fifth right now. Right now, they'd face Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns. Kevin Durant hopefully will be back tomorrow to make his return from injury, Wednesday, March 29th. And then they got a couple games with the Nugs left, so they have a decent runway to get him going before the postseason.
Yeah, and DeAndre Ayton did come back for the Suns there last night. Played 30 minutes, 14-8. But it was a bit of the Booker show there. Jazz made a game of it, but Phoenix took over in the fourth quarter. We watched a decent amount of that one on playback as well. We brought up Batum hitting 8 three-pointers. And the other night, Trey Murphy and Kennard, over the weekend, I guess I should say on Monday we were talking about it, both those guys hit 10 threes. And I got this tweet from @BennettForSenate. Regarding Trey Murphy III, Bennett there wanted to know, how many guys have been in the dunk contest and also hit 10 threes in a game? And I was like, that's a fun question.
That's good.
I was like, you know what? We can turn that into a trivia question. Into a trivia game. A segment. Let's do it, Jay. Who wants some trivia? It's been a while. This used to be its own spinoff podcast.
Yeah, it's been a while. We haven't practiced that in a bit.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's right. a brand new intro.
Yeah, it's great.
So I have some questions for you guys, for everybody joining us live, maybe listening later, based off of the idea of hitting 10 three-pointers in a game. And the first one is to answer Bennett's question. How many dunk contest participants have hit 10-plus three-pointers in a game? What would you guess it is? And if you want to take a go at it.
Well, Zach Levine did it multiple times.
Zach Levine is correct.
Damian Lillard.
Correct.
J.R. Smith.
Correct. Nice. Look at you, Trey Murphy, obviously.
Trey Murphy,
just did
so
it.
We're at four.
We're at four, guys. You have three left. You can do this. two current players.
Anthony Simons?
No.
Didn't get to 10.
No.
Wow, he hasn't had a 10 three-pointer. No. That's actually kind of surprising to me. Paul George?
Correct.
Nice one.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Very, very nice.
So two
Another
more guys.
Current player.
Yeah, we got one more current player and then one Hall of Famer.
Oh, one Ooh. Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Was, and I'm checking Simons, and he is not here on this list here.
Current player with 10 threes and a dunk contest appearance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine Victor Oladipo ever got to 10 threes.
No.
No.
So I'll give you this. The current player, he moved this season. He switched teams. Tass...
Was Wesley Matthews?
Was a fan
no,
of his.
He wasn't
no,
in
no,
dunk
he wasn't
contest.
A dunk contest. This guy actually won a dunk contest.
Mitchell?
Nope.
Donovan Mitchell? Never
nope.
got the 10 threes?
Nope, nope.
Eric Gordon?
No,
what
no,
the,
no.
What the
won
what?
A dunk contest.
You guys are saying all these names contest. Now? This guy did. This guy won a dunk contest.
Oh, he won. This should be easy as pie.
Well, JaVale McGee moved this summer.
Yeah, this is not a big name. Contest. He is not
Blake
a big
Griffin
name.
Didn't win,
yeah.
Didn't hit 10 threes.
Derrick Jones Jr.
No, Tass, you got to think of...
No way.
Tass loves him.
Yeah, I mean, he played for Tass's team
Toronto
for a while.
Raptors.
Yeah, yeah. Start going
Terrence
Ross.
Terrence
yeah.
Ross,
good
gentlemen.
Call. Good call,
Trust
yeah.
Is
yeah.
that the stream team
He's
helping
been
out
balling.
There?
No.
And one more Hall of Famer. He's a champion.
Known as a dunker?
Well, that's the thing. No, he is known as one of the greatest three-point shooters of all time.
Ray Allen.
But Ray Allen had some dunks in him.
Good call.
And
was
in
call.
The, I think he was good in one. The 97 dunk contest with Kobe. I think he was in that one, if I remember correctly. Okay.
Good stuff.
Now that I'm going through this, did I... Just let me double check that... Well, no, I just want to make sure... Oh, I forgot Kobe. I'm sorry. It's 8.
Nice.
I'm glad I brought that up.
Kobe Bryant.
And I was like, hold on.
Kobe.
I didn't put Kobe on the list. Also, Jaylen Brown has hit 10 threes in a game, and he reportedly turned down the 2021 dunk contest here in Atlanta. So, 8 guys. I'm glad
nice.
We caught that.
Nice.
And probably a couple other that I just missed. Anyway, there you go, Bennett. A few more questions, though. How many players have hit 10-plus three-pointers in a game this season?
Zach LaVine did it.
Zach LaVine is correct.
Klay Thompson.
He's done it 4 times.
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry's done it once, yes. The two that just did it on the weekend.
Luke Kennard.
Yes, and
Trey Murphy.
There you go.
Lillard.
He's done it twice.
Yep.
All right, you guys are cooking. You got 4 left.
How many have we named?
You've named 6 guys.
So 10 players.
Yep. Combined to do it 14 times.
This season.
Who else is that?
Trey
James Harden?
Harden, no. Who's
Trey?
You?
Young?
Nope. Nope.
10 three-pointer game.
Mitch? Ull?
No,
Garland.
But Garland did it. Did it that's yeah. right. Early in the season, I believe.
Jordan Poole?
No. No, but a guy that's compared to Jordan Poole a lot.
Tyler Hero?
Tyler Hero, baby.
Okay. Okay, then.
And we got 2 more. One became an all-star this year for the first time. One is always in the running to be an all-star, but has never made it. He's going to be on the list as one of the, you know, one of the greater players to never make an all-star team, if he never does.
CJ McCollum.
CJ McCollum.
Ah, cool.
Okay, and then the All-Star.
This guy was an All-Star.
Tyrese Halliburton.
Tyrese Halliburton. Look at you guys. Nice. Go. Well done. I love it. All right, this is fun. This is for you old heads. Who are the only 4 players to hit 10-plus three-pointers in a game in the 90s? Only 4 guys ever hit 10 threes in one game in the 90s. They happened in 93, 94, 95, and 96, so we did have the shortened line there.
Short lines.
Yeah.
Dennis Scott?
Correct.
Got
1996
to.
For the
Got
Magic.
To.
Just inducted into the Ring of Fame or something, right? Didn't they just have 3D Day or something
yeah,
like
did.
That? Nice.
Congrats.
10 threes.
This was before Danielle Marshall's
90s.
Time.
Yeah.
Dana just... Barros?
No.
No? No, no, no. Pre-Danielle Marshall.
This is pre-Kobe's.
I always think of this guy that did it in 1995. This guy was... He had a couple just hot years as a three-point shooter. He was helped out definitely by the shortened line.
Vashawn Leonard?
No, no. Look to the skies.
George
McLeod.
Those are my 2 go-to short-line three-point shooters. Vashawn Leonard and George McLeod.
Now, these two, the first two to do it, the first guy to do it played for Miami. I'll give you a team. But he's a champion with another team. Multiple-time champion.
Multiple-time champion, Miami.
Steve Smith?
No. Oh. This guy's a 3-time champion.
3-time champion? Was he a Chicago Bull?
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
He somehow made his way to the Los Angeles Lakers.
He sure did. 50. Absolutely.
A three-point shooter from the Miami Heat who made his way to the Los Angeles Lakers. Caron Butler.
No.
Brian Grant.
No, but you're very close.
Brian Shaw.
Brian right. Shaw.
Nice one. Nice
Always
one.
Forget B.
Nice
Shaw. One, yeah.
So Miami's Miami Heat's Brian Shaw in 1993. First player to ever do it to hit 10 threes in a game there. And then one more. This one is so tough. He's a, I believe he is a Hall of Famer. He is a champion as well. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Six-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA, two-time champ. He was a star in the 80s, late 80s. Obviously still decent in the 90s. But... pretty wild that he hit
Mark Price never won championships.
No, I say it's pretty wild, but he was a 38% three-point shooter in his career.
Six-time All-Star, two-time champ.
Took a decent two-time amount for when he played. He played a lot longer than I thought.
He was more of an 80s guy.
He played
though,
for one
saying?
Franchise.
For one franchise.
No, he's not really an 80s
Vinny
guy.
Vinny Johnson.
No, you're really close.
Joe Dumars.
Joe Dumars.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Joe Dumars. 1994 hit 10 threes. All right, a couple more. This is fun. Besides the Splash Brothers, so take Curry and Clay off the board, who has 10-plus three-pointers made in multiple games in their career? Curry has done it 23 times. Clay has done it 9 times, if we're talking about the regular season here. Who are the four other players to have multiple games where they hit 10 or more three-pointers in a game?
Zach LaVine did it.
Correct. 3 times.
Man, he shows up on all of these lists.
I know.
That's crazy. You think he's super underrated or something. James Harden did it.
Damian Lillard did it 3 times. Sorry, Damian Lillard did it 5 times. James Harden did it 3 times. You guys got one more.
One more 10-plus three-pointers.
Multiple times. You've already...
multiple times.
You said his name when it came to the dunk contest, and he was a correct answer.
Donovan Mitchell?
No.
No, he wasn't.
Paul George?
No. He's good on the links now.
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith did it 3
nice
times
one.
As well.
Nice one.
Lillard 5 times, Harden 3 times, Zach LaVine 3 times, and J.R. Smith 3 times. Final one. Who are the only two players to hit 10-plus three-pointers in a game that happened in the playoffs? Only two players have ever done it. One guy did it twice.
It ain't Zach LaVine this time.
No.
Steph Curry.
No. That's shocking, but no.
Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson is correct. Tell me the game he did it. It's an iconic.
Game six.
Game six, yeah, Western Conference Finals versus the Thunder. Klay hit 11 in that game. And so the only other player to do it, he's done it twice. One of them was iconic.
One of them was iconic.
Yeah, the final three he hit in the game was one of the coolest shots ever hit in the playoffs.
Damian Lillard, bye-bye.
Damian Lillard hit 10 threes, the last one being that logo buzzer beater to eliminate OKC when he hit it on Paul George, and then we had the awesome meme. That was in 2019. Lillard hit 12 threes when he scored 55 points in a double overtime game against the Nuggets in the 21 playoffs, too. So Damian Lillard twice, Klay Thompson, Game 6 Klay there.
So you're telling me, how many threes did he make in that game against OKC?
Which one?
The one where they sent.
Where they sent
a
packing?
Ten. He hit 10 threes.
Yeah.
Including the one in Paul George's face.
Yeah, from the logo.
The game, and he said it was a bad shot afterwards. Come on, buddy. The guy's on fire. Drain a shot to send you home for the playoffs.
I never really bad thought shot. About it. I don't know what his percentage was. Maybe he took 22 attempts that game or something. Yeah. There it is. A little trivia, all based off of one tweet.
Wow.
From our guy, Bennett. How'd you do? Did you beat the guys here? That was pretty impressive. I got to say, you got some names I didn't think you would get there on the list. We're going to take our final break, though, when we come back. Pick 'em results and tweet of the night from our man, Tass. Don't go anywhere. All right, back with the boys in the Classic Factory. If you're joining us live on YouTube, hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. Pick 'em results last night. Oh, my God. I don't know how we did it, Trey, but we backdoor covered this game. We had the Sixers. They were 5.5-point dogs. Tass had the Nuggets. They were up huge. I mean, like, they were up really big with, like, 3 minutes to go. We had checked out of this game. We're like, well, this one's over. Good win from Tass. And no. Philly loses by 5, so they cover. The old backdoor cover. So win for me. I'm 10-9. Trey's 11-8. And Tass can't catch a break on that one. That's a rough one. 6-13. So what's tonight's game?
And what also came true at the end of this game... like I always say, we don't know the rules. Nobody knows the rules. They went to the video review. Jeff Green was out of bounds, jumped in bounds, but hadn't had his feet down. caught the ball, got fouled, and they were reviewing the foul and not the him coming in bounds. And you can't review that. You used to be able to if it was an extension of the play when video review was introduced. When the challenge was introduced, he would have been deemed out of bounds. Nobody knows the rules. Anyway, good stuff by Jeff Green. Uncle Jeff. Anyway, Golden State, 9.5 points. Favored tonight against the Pelicans. It's in Golden State, where they're great. So you guys have them to win by 10 or more against the Pels, who are driving hard for a play-in tournament spot.
I just feel like the Pelicans have played like 8 straight days.
They've played a ton, man.
They're on fire, yeah. Though. And like Ingram, like we said, can't be stopped. But that is a big line.
Yeah, so I'll take those plus 9.5 points. They did play last night against the Portland Trail Blazers. Yeah. Hammered them.
Yeah.
Took care of business.
Yep. All right. So Tass has the Pels as the dogs there. A lot of points to play with. Trey and I need the Warriors to win by 10 or more. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night comes from our man, Law Murray, who covers the Clippers for The Athletic. A fantastic website. Great deal going on. So cheap, in fact. You could pay with coins. It's that cheap. TheAthletic.com/NoDunks if you want a great deal on The Athletic. Law, listen to a recent episode of Paul George's show. It's called Podcast P. And he transcribed the most interesting notes, so we didn't have to. Interesting stuff, like when he suffered his latest injury. It turned out to be a sprained knee. He wondered if that was it. He thought, okay, this is it. Could be done. Could be done for the season. He also said that he didn't think Lou Dort did anything malicious on that play. Mm-hmm. He shared his admiration for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, a guy he got traded for. And what I like about this, he couldn't come up with a comparison for him. We always need to come up with comparisons. He said, I love Shea. I love Shea's game. I don't even know how to compare him. Like, he's got his own lane. He also got even more excited when he saw him in a commercial. He saw him in an AT&T commercial, just got so pumped for him. I was like, OSM dash, he's doing his thing. He was so excited. And then the last thing in this article, in this podcast, P, it's a good name.
It is a good name.
You can hate Paul George,
yeah,
but it's a good name.
Yeah.
He revealed the 2017 trade destination possibilities. He was with Indiana, who requested a trade. He said, This is a big episode. Episode 4 here, Podcast P. He's just dropping all some history. He said he could have gone to the Lakers, the Celtics, the Spurs, the Raptors. And he also revealed how close he was to joining LeBron because Dante Jones, who was with the Cavaliers then,
yeah.
He took him in. He took him to Bron's crib. And they're chopping it up with Bron. He's like, how can we make this work? So they're trying to figure it out. And they're trying to figure out. It didn't happen, though. They had a deal that was potentially going to happen between Indiana and Cleveland way back, but then he ended up being traded to OKC. So sometimes you see these players' podcasts and you say, I don't know if I want to listen to that. All you got to do is go to The Athletic. Law Murray breaks it down for you. Done and done.
Transcribing it.
Don't got to listen.
Picking the best parts.
Yep.
I do like that. Yeah. Have you listened to it at all?
The podcast, P?
How's the quality? How's the production?
Production?
They got segments? They got intros?
I don't know.
Does he have taglines?
I obviously haven't. I've listened to a lot. Law Murray. So what do you think? Production is decent? Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sometimes we see Patrick Beverley's video quality. You couldn't get a dude a light? Like, the guy doesn't... the ring light is very available.
Yeah, it's very cheap. Very cheap. But maybe it's like the vibe they're going for—the look, the feel. This is raw, dude.
I can't
I'm
see.
Just turn it on my camera. I'm not like I don't even care. You fucking think I care? I'm gonna tell you everything you need to know about the NBA.
Like Chandler Parsons. Can we get a mic on him? This is a different show now.
Well, I thought that was more of a bit of a production, isn't it? They're not doing great with him. Isn't he on FanDuel?
Yeah.
Oh, he needs better lighting.
He needs a mic.
Oh, mic, sorry.
I'm looking around the room while I'm saying it.
Because why are you looking up there?
Because there's such an echo. I think he's using his computer mic. It's ricocheting off the ceiling and the walls. And just put a mic closer to his mouth.
Put some carpet in the room.
Sure.
That's probably what's going on. I mean, I was listening to these Fast Friends that we're re-releasing. I'm pretty echoey. I'm very roomy. Mm.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot in that room, but I had a mic. I mean, it was right by my
face. That was the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much that treadmill absorbs.
Yeah, that's the only reason
more
I got
it. More than the bed?
Yeah, apparently.
It's crazy.
I don't know why. It's a lot better in there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
One bit I've been considering is real NBA player podcast or made up player podcast.
Okay, I like it.
Because I think Thanasi's podcast is called Fanalytics, which is pretty funny.
No, I lied to you. Oh. I did say it on this show that it was called Fanalytics. It's Fanalysis.
Fanalysis. Okay, that's pretty funny.
It's better than Fanalytics.
That's funny. Podcast P is funny.
Yeah.
I don't know what Theo Pinson's podcast is, but he's got one.
Yeah.
So real or fake, this podcast name?
Tyrese Maxey, I saw, has a podcast.
What?
As well. To the Max.
To the Maxey.
Oh, see, that's good.
Yeah. Is it? I might have made the name up.
I assume.
I think Theo Pinson's is called Run Your Race.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know, like, what's the real meaning behind that?
That's a potential bit there.
Yeah. So, like, what? We just come up. Pick a player that doesn't have one. Yeah, and try and give him a podcast name. I do like that.
Yeah, like, is this a real podcast? To the Max, starring Tyrese Maxey.
He should have called it To the Maxey, so I'm going to say no.
Wow. Yeah, it's true. I didn't know we had one.
I don't know.
Maxey on the mic. But we could do similar things, right? Like, I'll go through, I'll come up with pun titles. Basically pun titles on these players' names, and some of them will be real NBA podcasts. Ooh, but now I got to go through 30 rosters, 15 deep, because they'll give a podcast to any player.
Anybody can.
How many NBA podcasts are there, do you think? Hosted, like, not hosted, or at least featuring a current or former NBA player, like a Draymond or an Austin Rivers or of that ilk? Like, do you think it's over or under 20?
Over.
Over 20?
I think over 20, under 50. So
I was going to say 50, but that,
yeah,
but
that seems a little high.
Wow. That seems high.
Yeah, it seems high.
Wow.
I think the over-under should be 30. Each team has a player's podcast. Because there are some teams that probably have more than one.
Yeah.
The Lakers, do they have a player podcast anymore? The Bulls didn't, but now they got Patrick Beverly. They got a Patrick Beverly podcast.
Yeah.
The Pat Bev pod.
Yeah, that's high. But you said former as well.
Yeah, I did say former.
Oh,
like, well, if you're talking Fry and former, Jefferson, maybe they've 50. Got one.
Right, right. Oh, man.
JJ.
Yeah, what a list. I like this idea, though.
Yeah, that's good, actually. That's good.
It's a good segment idea. Drop it in the Slack. You're going to see that at some point in the coming weeks. Okay, let's call it there, though. We got a new show tomorrow for you. Are you here? No, you're gone.
I'm not. This is
awesome, man. Have a fun vacation.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So
yeah, booked it a while ago.
Getting the vacation in before the playoffs start is always smart.
Yeah, for sure. I booked it a long time ago. Yeah, this is usually a little quiet time, but it ain't a quiet time. Unfortunately, you're going to miss the live show in Houston.
That's all right.
You guys have some fun out there. You're also going on vacation very soon.
Well, yeah.
This is going to be a wild week for the schedule here in No Dunks Land.
This is going to be a little bit of an interesting end to this week.
And then
we're load managing these 2 weeks here, to be quite honest.
And Trey's got some days
on vacation
off next week.
Year,
next week, yep.
Yep, got to get it in.
GD?
Playoffs or grind, man. GD, this guy already took his vacation.
That was months ago.
Must have been nice.
You were on vacation.
Was
too?
I? Oh, damn.
We were off.
No, we weren't.
It was Christmas.
We were not on vacation.
Yeah. So, okay. That was Christmas. Wow.
Some of
felt
us.
Like yesterday, man. You got anything on the docket? Hold on. Let me check the Google calendar here. That we all share.
No, I'll be here.
Okay, good. We need you
holding
here,
it down.
Yeah, we got to make it. Maybe we got to make a short with our schedule for people out there to refer to.
I'm not sure about that.
I can just tell them check the schedule.
You guys are going to have, I guess, they can say check the tweet.
You
are going to have a special guest. Is it confirmed for No Buffs on Thursday? Because I will be, unfortunately, missing that.
I think so, yeah.
Yes,
Confirmicus.
Yes. Yeah. You want to tell the people or just make it be a surprise?
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise.
But if you were going to guess the guest on a No Buffs podcast, you would probably guess it right.
You'd be top three for sure.
Yeah, that's the hint.
Okay. So anyway, we'll be here. Some of us will be here tomorrow morning from the Classic Factory. Join us then live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. Go subscribe to No Buffs as well. Go check out the upcoming No Bunts, which is on the Athletic Baseball Show with Tass and Joel. Getting ready for the baseball season. Which what? When's first pitch, man?
All 30 teams are playing on Thursday, on the 30th. That's never happened before in Major League Baseball.
Really?
Yeah. But the show will drop March 29th, a little season preview.
Okay. Well, that's tomorrow. Excellent. Sure. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you then. We'll see you tomorrow. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Ice Trey with Trey Young. Real or nah?
No.
Nah.
You're totally right. That wasn't good enough.
something.
call in with Collins. John Collins call-in show. taking calls from the Hawks fans around the county.
ice cold takes. He could do it too. Ice cold takes.
Ice cold takes. Young.
Oh, that's...
Hot takes with ice tray.
Hot. Yeah, go
that's
hot.
That's better.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
really
good.
All right. That's a real one.
Call it in.
All right. Brace the day, people.